That's no problem for me. That's no problem. I don't even think about it. I don't look at my wife and say, should we go to Bible study this morning or Wednesday night? Or I don't leave church on Sunday thinking, should I go to church Sunday night? I'm wore out, you know, or I want to go. It's nice weather. Brother Jerry, let's don't go tonight. Let's go to the lake and go catch them fish. No, we don't even think about that. We don't even talk about that. It's because we've developed some highly effective habits or disciplines. Then these disciplines alone don't save us. It doesn't make us righteous, but it's those disciplines that God can now work with us. We're here. We've disciplined our minds and our flesh. But at first, that's harder to take. Or come down front when the Spirit's moving. Or don't, you know, there's some instructions, you know, you get when you come in here. And I seen a good example this weekend. And I hope you don't think I'm carnal sharing this with you. I wish I actually had the video demonstration to show you. But do y'all remember the old movie back in the 80s, The Karate Kid? I don't know if anybody remembers that movie. The kid got beat up by a bunch of kids that knew karate, and he kind of got rescued by this Japanese instructor, and he wanted him to teach him how to do karate. So he brought him over to the house and started having him washing and waxing his cars and taught him wax on, wax off. You know, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. The wax on, wax off, and then the painting the fence and the scrubbing the floor. And he didn't understand that he was learning karate until he was able to put it in effect. And then it hit him. I understand now why you're having me do these things. Why I'm going through this is to learn to muscle memory. That's all it was, is muscle memory. Well, there's some spiritual muscle memory that you get when you come in and get saved. But you have to be coachable. You have to be teachable. You have to humble down. You have to be willing to say, okay, in order for me to get where these people are at, I'm going to have to receive instruction to get there. You know, Michael Jordan just didn't say, all of a sudden decide, I'm going to be the best basketball player in the world. He started off being a gym rat and hanging out in the basketball gym all day long and playing in AAU and instructional leagues and high school and college and practiced all the time. That's how he became the best basketball player in the world. He didn't just all. So you can't all decide and say, hey, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be the best Christian and do it this time. You're going to have to be coachable. You're going to have to be instructable. You are going to have that good attitude. I'm going to do it. I want to get to that place, but I'm going to have to receive instruction on how to get there. Brother Shane, God's blessing you so much. Brother Shane did have that attitude, and I was worried about him, to be honest with you. When he came here, I thought, boy, I'm going to go down there and move him. I don't know how he's going to react. He may bolt out of here in a week or two. I don't know. I really didn't. But it wasn't just a few weeks. I thought, he's going to make it because he's coachable. He's teachable. He will do what he's asked to do. Even if he don't understand it, he just knows. I didn't know how to do it, so I'm gonna let the people who do know how to do it show me how to do it. And Brother Shane, you're gonna be Brother Daniels one day. You know, we're gonna give him a hard time. Brother Daniels has outfitted him out, got him smelling like him and looking like him. And sometimes I put on my polo in the morning. I start putting on my Daniels approved cologne this morning. But Brother Daniels is, I say that in all jest and all that, but Brother Daniels is a pillar in this church. And that's what I mean. You know, Brother Shane's going to be a pillar one day if you just keep on keeping on. Sister Donna, you keep on keeping on. And you'll be a pillar in this church, just like the pillars we've got here. And you'll have that peace resonating inside you. And I want to encourage you to come on. You can do it. Just be coachable, be teachable. And with all humility say, you know what? I know I opened my mouth the other day, but I'm going to church. I don't care what it takes to get there. I got to go. Praise God. I want to encourage all of us, you young people, old people, don't give up. Hang on. There's people out there that need saved. We've got something good tonight. We've got something good in here. This is a dying world. There's so much grief and so much pain out there. We ought not to be scared to share what we have with people. And we can't save everybody, but there's people. But we ought to give the people the opportunity to hear about the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you never can tell who God's dealing with. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Praise God.
So thankful to be here tonight, and thankful for everybody that's here. It makes it a lot easier when you got people here. I'm glad that God still loves me. There's a lot of things I've done, like my brother said, and I have to agree, he's a scoundrel, but I love him. I really do. He's one of a kind, thank goodness. I told him the other day, I said, when God made you, he broke the mold, but I think it's growing back. No, he's been an inspiration to me. He's been through a lot through his life, a couple of heart attacks and two open heart surgeries, but he's still hanging on to God, and that just impresses me so much that he come in and first day here was a part of this church already, and I'm so thankful for him and his family and the rest of this church. You guys are just you got my heart, and I appreciate you guys for opening up your hearts to me and my wife, and I'm really praying that my sons and my daughter can see this way, and just breaks my heart to know that they're still in Springfield and I'm here. But I know God, like Brother Smith was talking about, you have to forsake your family, and sometimes that's hard to do, to go on with God and put your family in second place. But I know that God will bless me and has been blessing me, and I'm just so thankful to be here. God could have said to me I'd had it. You proved to me that you're not worth it. Why should my grace reach out to you again? You broke the promises you made me. You chose to
sins have been forgiven, he still
so Lord. It's been a good day today. Appreciate the Lord's Spirit here. Appreciated Sister Donna's testimony and sharing her heart with us that the Lord's dealing with her. We're so thankful for that because she's part of our family. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures just before we go home. In the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, in the first verse, and I'm going to read a few scriptures there. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Jesus is, this is not just talking about him dying on the cross. He's not asking you to die on the cross. Jesus suffered to put the ways of sin, the ways of the world aside and not give in to them, because he knew there was a higher calling. And he knew that God had called him for a specific purpose and to be a part, not only a part, but in his case, the Father of salvation. But God's calling us not only to be saved, but to be a way that other people can be saved. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. See, you shouldn't live your life to the lust of the flesh. Give over to your own ideas and your own thoughts and even your feelings. But that the will of God is what you need to keep in your focus. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That's talking about the way of the world. Gentiles were not God's people. When we walked in lasciviousness, that just means all manner of evil and fleshly ways, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Could just be things that you idolize, that you really love in life, maybe more than you love God. Anything, you have any things in your life that you put up ahead of God? You know? Wherein they think it strange, they, people in the world that you've been affiliated with, I was thinking my brother Michael was talking about Brother Shane. You know what's helped Brother Shane more than any other thing? He's been taken out of his environment and put in a different environment. If he would have stayed in Midland, it would have been much harder on him. But because he didn't have the same influences, the same temptations that, you know, when you decide to serve God, now, God did that for him, but he doesn't do it for everybody. And if God doesn't do that for you, then he will give you the strength. But you have to understand something. You have to understand I have to cut off the influences that are dragging me down spiritually. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Speaking evil of you. In other words, you know, you had all these friends in the world, but when you have a hunger in your heart for God, friends in the world don't satisfy. And then when you turn to God, they think something's wrong with you. What is wrong with you? That you don't want to do all the things we've done together anymore. And so they speak evil of you. You know why they do that? Is because your life or your decision to serve God condemns them. It brings condemnation on them. And then he says, who shall give account? Don't think that they're going to get by with it. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Not only those of us that's been quickened by him, but also they that are dead in the trespasses of sins. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So he was dealing there with that world, having been harvested and preached to, and the gospel had been saturated there, that known world. Peter's dealing with a different people than we're dealing with down here. But these scriptures relate to us. Then there's one more set of scriptures in Ephesians 4th chapter, I believe it's in. In the 22nd verse, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation. That doesn't mean, you know, the way you was talking. That's not really meaning that. It means your whole life, what your life spoke of. You know, if you're living in the world, your life bespeaks the things of the world. But if you're serving God, your life will speak the things of God. And you have to put that off. That's part of the commitment you have to make. You got to get out of your environment. You know, make friends with people in the church. Get a relationship going with people that have the same vision you do. By the way, that should help some of you people that are here. When new people come in, it's our responsibility to help them, reach out to them. You see them struggling, call them, go see them, have them over. Get them, help them in that relationship building. Put off the conversation, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That takes place here in the church. You come here, you'll get renewal. You'll get refreshed. You'll get, your vision will get renewed. You'll feel like, I can do it. I can do this. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a putting off and there's a putting on in this walk with God. And the key, I've always said this, the key is be faithful to church. You show me somebody that's not faithful in church, and I'll show you somebody who's lukewarm. But if you make sure you're there every time the service starts, you'll get over being lukewarm. You'll get that negative spirit and that worldly spirit out of your mind and out of your spirit. You say, well, I don't feel nothing. Well, that's why you don't feel anything. You tell God, I'm going to keep coming, God, and I'm begging you to help me to get over this. And I'll guarantee you, he will help you. It may take a little while, but I'll promise you, God will lift you up out of that. And finally, you'll get your head cleared, and you'll begin to be renewed in the spirit of the inner man. Reason you're getting that spirit's because that's the old conversation, the old man. You slip back into him and he'll start telling you, you know, old Slewfoot. You ever had Slewfoot talk to you? Yeah. talks to you. He'll give you every excuse there is to not show up, don't go. You know, I'm telling you, you know. You don't feel like going. You're tired. You feel bad. You know, he'll talk to you. But if you tell him, get thee behind me, you ain't going to, I'll make you go. I'll make you pray an hour before we go. I'll make it hard on you if you don't leave me alone. Tell him, say, we'll get there early. I'll make you go up front every service and get prayed for. I'll defeat you. I won't put up with this, you talking to me like this. Yeah, you try that. You see if it don't work. It does work. It takes determination. It takes diligence. I said I'm just going to read one more, but I'll just read you another one. This, you know, I may forget to read this next time, and you may need it tonight. Look in 2 Peter 1 again. Now, y'all have heard this several times, but there's some of you that needs it. Here, this scripture says, if you do this, in the 10th verse of 1 Peter 1, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Diligence. Be diligent. Not just, you know, do you ever get up and go to work in the morning and just say, oh God, not another day, here we go. You know, drag yourself up and drag yourself to the work and, you know, that's not diligence. But it's when you get up and get there early to get started and do a good job and, you know, to accomplish and do it as like if it's under the Lord. That's how we are to be about our salvation. We are to let God know, I'm thankful you saved me. Some of us forget where we came from. Sometimes in this walk with God, we forget the pit we was dug out of. Don't you remember when God lifted you up out of the pit of sin and the unrest and the no peace and the hell that your life was going through? And do you remember the peace God gave you? You remember what He's done for you? Yes. Praise God. And then, like Brother Doug's song says, He's so merciful when we do slip and fall. He's still right there loving us. Saying, and let me tell you something about God. God will take you back a jillion times. But if you don't get off the track of going backwards and coming back and getting out and coming back, you'll never get enough of God in your life to be eternally saved. You got to make your mind up. I'm going to go past this. I'm going to get enough of this. Make up your mind. I'm going to understand it. I'm going to get this in my mind. I'm going to get the understanding of it. I'm going to get rooted, established, and settled in this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, the things he's talking about is back in the 5th verse when he says to add to your faith virtue. That means strength. And that strength to faith is obedience. That's something to learn. Be obedient. See, why don't you obey what I'm telling you tonight? Why don't you be here the next service instead of slipping out, instead of letting the slew foot talk you out of it? Why don't you obey the Word of God? Put some virtue and some strength to the Word of God and to your faith. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you something I think. I'm telling you something I know. Add some strength to your faith. If you believe, then do it. Do what it says to do. And then to your virtue, had knowledge. Well, if you keep coming, you're going to get knowledge. Brother Wayne McGowan was just telling me, he said, this place is like a gold mine. We got so much God's gave us, we take it for granted. But get it. Get the knowledge. You can know. You young people can know. You don't have to sit there until you're 20, 30, 40 years old to get this. I believe you young people. I think, Anthony, I think you can understand the doctrines in the Bible. Right now. You believe that? You believe? You don't know? You can't do it if you don't believe. You have to believe. Say, I believe. All right, that's good. That's a start. You can learn the doctrines in the Bible as good as you can learn your ABCs. And 1 + 1s and 2 + 2s. You can learn it. You just have to make up your mind. I want to learn it. Get the knowledge of this. And then temperance will come. God will temper you in knowledge. He'll give you some lessons in life. God will make sure you get lessons. Brother Stewart was just telling me today about Brother Leninger preaching on something. And then after when he first came here, Brother Leninger was preaching on something. What was it? I think he said he was preaching on... Let God fight your battles. He said, brother, it didn't take me long to have a battle after he preached that. He said, I got in a battle. And he said, I've never had anybody talk to me the way this guy talked to me. But he said, I stood there and he said, I thought about quitting my job. This was a guy I was working for. He said, it came to me, let God fight your battles. He said, I took a chewing I didn't even deserve. I wasn't the guy that was guilty. He said, if I would have quit, he said, you know, the next day, he said, I kept the right spirit. I went back in there and tried to fix what the man was mad about, even though I didn't do it. He said, you know, the next day, that man called me in his office and repented to me because he found out he got the wrong man. He said, I thought he called me in there to fire me, but he fired the right, he did fire somebody, but it was the guy that was responsible for the mess. Well, God will temper you. When he starts giving you knowledge, he causes preachers to preach on what you need to hear, and then he'll give you a lesson in it. He'll give you a test. Say, let's see if you got the lesson. Did you get it? I'm going to give you the test. See how he grades you on it. And so get the knowledge and God will temper you. All you got to do is hold steady in the trial and the test, and God will, he'll turn the heat up on you a little bit, and you'll get tempered. You'll get like steel. You'll get strong, because you'll find out, if I'll stand on the knowledge God gives me, he will fight my battle, and it'll make me strong. If I can just learn to stand still and let the Word of God really work. And then patience. You know, it is a job to learn how to let God direct your life and wait on him and let all of these things really work and develop. Let these righteous principles that God's placed in our life, let them develop and learn how to work with God. Be patient. And then to be godly. See, this will add. You keep adding, you'll keep growing. You are to take these home with you. Sister Donna, take this chapter home with you. Put verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11 on your icebox. Move 1 Corinthians. What was that scripture? Sister Weininger was reminding me, telling you to put another one on there. Well, move that one over and put this one beside it. That the gifts, I think it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit work in you to profit with. But these scriptures, that we're to add these things. Here's how you grow. You add one thing to the other. God will help you with it. Godliness, then brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. I think everybody in this church ought to start practicing charity over again. Start treating your brother like gold. Just put it back in your practice. I'm going to refresh the charity course. I'm going to start treating my brother and sister. I'm going to let them go before me. I'm going to help them when they're in need. I'm going to put on charity and love my brother and sister more than I have been. That's doing your first works over again. I think God wants us to do that. Keep that refreshed, because we're to be a servant. We're to be saviors. We're to be servants and save people. Finally, you add charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge or of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, you don't have much of a vision, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That proves what I'm telling you. You can forget where you came from, what God did for you. But if you keep this working in your life and you keep growing, you keep developing, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. You say, I don't ever want to fall back again. Here's how you do it. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Hallelujah. Now there's a place where there's a wide gate in the kingdom of God. You know, I know there's a broad way and a wide gate out there, but there's an entrance in here that'll be opened up to you. How does it say it? It shall be ministered to you abundantly. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, the key is keep coming. Keep coming. No matter what, make yourself a faithful servant of God. Be a faithful person, shows up. If you do that, I remember old Brother Gene Sugg one time said in Fort Worth, he got up, I never will forget this. The house was packed, and he got up. And he said, you know something I've noticed? He said, I've noticed that when God gives us the most precious services is when the most unfaithful people are not here. He said, I've noticed that. He said, I've noticed that God does that extra something for the faithful. Have you ever been sitting in the service and you think, oh God, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so ought to be here. They ought to be in on this. Yeah, I have. Many times I thought, oh God, I wish they was here. Well, I know how the Lord works. He gives an abundance to the faithful. He gives an abundance to those that are following these steps. And it's like Brother Michael Smith said, those of them, the people that are here, that this is working in their lives, they didn't start out that way. They started out doing what I'm saying. They started out getting to church no matter what and being some of the faithful people. And then they put all these things in their life that they got while they was here. The reason they got it is because they was here when it went out. Some things we'd give out and may not hear it again for, you know, a year or two, 6 months or however long. But the Lord, you know, He may cause something to go out and we get it, but then there's people that wasn't here didn't get it. Well, thank God. I do realize there's some exceptions to rules, and sometimes there's But God takes that in consideration, I believe. God knows. He knows the faithful, and then He knows that there's exceptions in their case, that they're always going to be faithful, except for, you know, a death or something that is an exception. Anyway, put that in your sack. Put it in your, now don't put it in your pipe and smoke it. Just put that in your gold, your sack of nuggets. Put it in your bread sack. When you get hungry for knowing what am I supposed to do now, pull it out and pull it out and read it. And use it for your benefit. With diligence. Give all diligence to make your calling, your election and calling, an election sure. You want to make sure you make it? There's some answers. There's one set of instructions that God gives us in the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right. Hey, thank y'all for a wonderful birthday offering and the birthday cake. And it just lets me know that you do care. It's good to be. But if you don't, if you really don't have feelings for me, you're fooling me good. And so keep me fooled, would you? if you, it's working. Yeah, it's working. Praise God. I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how thankful I am. I'm gonna buy me. Some new church clothes as soon as I figure out what size I'm going to wear. I'm in the process of losing some weight. The Lord's helping me, and the Lord's helped me find something that's made it very easy for me to lose weight. You know, if you're not hungry at all, you have no craving, it's not hard to not eat. And you have to eat. When you have to eat something, you know you're supposed to eat to live. Well, you know you got to eat, but it's not hard to eat the right things when you're not hungry anyway. You can stay away from the things you know you shouldn't be eating, and it's easy just to say, well, it won't take but a little bit to make me full. So I appreciate the Lord helping me, because my weight was causing health problems in my life. So I appreciate the Lord. I want to feel good enough that I can work for the Lord and be of service to Him. Praise God. Let's stand and give God a praise for this good day that we've had and the touches. Take those good touches you got from the Lord home. Meditate on them. Meditate what God's saying to your heart. Let Him keep it working in your life. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness to us. Lord, for meeting with us today, for the touch that you gave us. God, for touching our soul, our lives.